Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can come together and worship you, reflecting specifically on the birth of the Messiah that you sent to us, your Son Jesus. I pray that today that you would speak to us strongly in a way that's so clear to us, in the way that you as a good Father speaks to us. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the life that you bring to us through him. And so we surrender ourselves to you at this time. We surrender ourselves to your word and what it is that you want to teach us today. We love you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. You know, one of the defining characteristics about Christmas time is the music. There's certain music that we hear, certain songs that we sing at this time of the year. We don't do it any other time of the year. It's a very defining thing that we hear and we sing, and sometimes they're new songs, like some of the things that the choir has sung today, and sometimes they're things very familiar, songs that you've sung your whole life that you very much associate with this Christmas time. And we sing about the good news of the great joy that is for all people. And that's the fact that Jesus is our rescue. God sent him to save us out of sin and out of death and into life. And songs are important to us. Songs stick with us. I bet you don't remember a single sermon you heard when you were 8 years old, but you remember some of the songs that you sang when you were 8 years old. They stick with us in a way that some things don't. But this is a great song to keep in our heart. It's a song of the good news of Jesus Christ that continues to tell the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus proclaimed this truth, that he is the one that can free us from our sin and bring us into life and bring us into a relationship with God. And today Jesus still proclaims that good news of great joy is for all people. But 2,000 years ago, although they heard the truth of Jesus, it was challenging to hang on to this truth. And it's challenging because of the troubles that they faced. So all this time goes by and we discover something interesting. Although we hear the truth and we know it and we read it, we hear it in songs, it sometimes can be very challenging for us to hang on to as well. In the middle of hearing the truth, it's difficult to hang on to it because at Christmas time, even though we know all of the words to every one of these songs, and although we know the words and the truth of the story of Jesus coming as our Messiah, sometimes hanging on and relating to the truth of those words can be a challenge because troubling things persuade us to turn our attention away from God and to turn our away from the truth of the words, what the choir just sang today. Sometimes it's easy to hear the song and appreciate the performance and not know a single word that they actually said. Sometimes troubles threaten to rob us of our hope or to diminish our joy. That's the problem with troubles of this kind. Because while we do know all the words and while we do know the words of the songs in the Bible, sometimes do we hang on to the truth? Or does our belief take a hit because of these troubles? Jesus knew this, and he knew this about his own disciples 2,000 years ago. And he says these words to them in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. But I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, well, I will come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also." "You know the way to where I'm going." "Lord," Thomas said, "we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus told him, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 2,000 years ago, the words of the truth were there, but there were also troubles. You see, the troubles that the disciples were facing at that time, besides just the ordinary harassment that they faced through 3 years of ministry walking around with Jesus, there were particular troubles that they were facing at that point. Just before this conversation, Jesus had let them know two things that troubled their hearts deeply. The first thing was this. He said that one among you is going to betray me. And I'm sure that troubled them, thinking, how could we be the ones that betrayed you? We've been walking with you all of this time. But he said one of you would betray me. And the second thing that he said was that I'll only be with you for a little while longer. It was difficult for them because of two things challenging them and the two things that challenge us as well. Can challenge anybody's belief is the idea that evil opposed them and the whole idea that they wouldn't be with Jesus much longer. They wouldn't see him. They would no longer be able to physically walk beside him as they went to different places or shake his hand or hear his voice or watch him as a brother lives right there before their very eyes. They would be faced with an opposition that they could very well see, but called to trust in someone that they could not see. It's the same challenge that we face today. But he tells them the solution. He tells them right there in verse 1, believe in God, believe also in me. You see, the great thing about Jesus is that he's more than a religious concept. Jesus came to show the reality of who God is. And he called them to believe in them. And as far as all the difficulty, the harassment, the evil that you will face the whole time, he would tell them just a little bit later in John chapter 16 and verse 33, I have told you those things so that in me you may have peace. Oh, you will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have overcome the world. He tells them that although they may see opposition and that they won't see him, that Jesus will still be victorious. And he promises them the reality of eternity. He says in these verses, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you, and I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Our Father's house is not like any house that we have ever seen. In fact, it's not a house as much as it's actually a home. And not just a home. It is our real home. It is a home that really exists. It's a home with many rooms for all the people who trust in Jesus and all the people who will still trust in Jesus. There is still room in our Father's house for many more people. And it is not a home that is temporary like the ones that you and I buy and the ones that we sell and the ones that we seem to endlessly have to repair. It is a perfect home. All these words of Jesus aren't just religious ideas. They are reality. The words that we read in his word, the words that we hear sung, the words that we sing in these songs about Jesus, the words of the choir today, they are words of a history that really happened. They are words of a present reality that Jesus calls us to see today. And these are also words of a future that he is really preparing for us. But Jesus also tells them what to do in the meantime, on their way to that real home, while we still live in temporary homes. He told them in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he says this, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Until we get there, until we get to this real home that really exists. We must live in a unity that is rooted in love for each other. It is a unity of love that is based on the command of Jesus, His Word. We must live by His Word in love with each other. And you know what happens to those disciples that He's talking to? It's the same thing that happens to us as well. We become a key piece pointing other people to the Messiah. As we hang on to the words of Jesus, as you listen to that music during this Christmas time that tells about a Messiah that was born, and you do more than just sing the songs, you relate to the reality of what that actually means. The history of it, the present reality, and the future that He's preparing for us, as you hang on to that, you know what happens? Your love for God begins to grow, but your love for each other, our love for each other begins to grow as well, and out of that grows a unity. A unity that does what? Points to other people to Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Jesus said it. In the unity that is rooted in love based on the command of Jesus, they will know we are whose disciples? Jesus's. And it points everybody else to the truth that there is a Messiah that is very real. And this is key, because Jesus says it Himself. He is the way to our true home. He is the truth. It tells others, how do we even get there? And He is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. This week, I challenge you. I think the Word challenges us to bring hope to somebody who is troubled. And maybe that troubled person that you know knows all the words to all the great Christmas songs, but they're not hanging on to the truth of it. Bring hope to that person by reminding them that Jesus' rescue is very real, and the home that He's leading us to, our home with God, is also a reality. This week with your family or friends, read through Luke 2. That's the story of our Messiah's coming to rescue us. Read through Luke 2 and discuss with your family, your friends, that Jesus is the way to our real home. Because in the end, in Jesus and only in Jesus, do we have real hope and a real home. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for sending us Your Son, Jesus. What a blessing beyond description. God, I pray that You would walk us through this Christmas season and that You would walk us through this coming year with a renewed sense of the reality of what You've done, what You're doing, and what You're preparing for all of us who trust in You as Lord and Savior. God, I pray for so many in this world who have not yet discovered that You, Jesus, are the way to our real home, our home with our Heavenly Father. And God, I pray that there would be something that strikes truth in their hearts. And I pray that You would give us, Your children, opportunity to share that with them. But I just pray as we sing these songs and listen to these words and read Your Word, that You would help us to know the reality that You are our hope and You show us the way home. We pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen.